Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're listening to Bartley's Commentaries on the Cosmic Wars. Today, I'm going to talk about the Gray ETs, and you've probably heard me talk about the Grays in the past, but I'm going to go into certain specifics on this occasion because it ties in a number of aspects, including time travel, evolution, co-evolution, as it's been described, the notion of beings coming from the future back to our present, in order to manipulate time, give themselves time to carry out whatever genetic, biological, evolutionary agenda they have. And by no means are the Greys or the various factions of the Greys the only beings that do this. If one's familiar with the work of Barbara Marciniak, the group of Palladians that she channels, they have intervened in our past, their past, on planet Earth with the human race, and it caused karmic problems for them, hence the necessity for them to undo the problems and the troubles for they created for themselves by trying to fix things again. So we have this concept of beings, however technologically advanced they may be, having to go back in time and try to fix things to make things easier for them. So there's definitely an aspect of self-interest at work. Let's always remember that. I will talk about the Zeta Grays and other Grays, and in the second part of Bartley's commentaries on the Cosmic Wars, I will talk about a case that I heard from a fellow researcher years ago about a Nevada State Trooper who was taken on board a saucer outside of Las Vegas, and what was done to him and his family in regards to this gray genetic agenda. A good starting point for a study of the Grays, and actually the various factions that make up the so-called Grays, is the work of the late, great Leonard Stringfield. And many of you are already familiar with it. I won't go into it in too much detail, but the point bears repeating that in a number of these saucer crashes, spaceship crashes, gray beings were taken out of the wreckage or found outside of the crashed craft. And then we hear stories, I have no reason to doubt this, in the case of the Dulce facility in Dulce, New Mexico, according to the Dulce papers that were smuggled out of Dulce by, I'm assuming he's passed away, the late Thomas Costello, the RAND security specialist who escaped from the Dulce facility known as Section D. It's a Department of Energy facility. According to the Dulce papers that he'd smuggled out, there were something like 18,000 Grays just in that facility alone. So the Grays are ubiquitous. They have been described by countless people, and Grays have been described in numerous UFO saucer crashes. They've been described as being kept in conditions of deep freeze in some of the secure facilities, such as Wright-Patterson Air Force Base and others. So we know about the Grays. And we know about the Zeta Grays also. Probably know as much about the Zeta Grays as any ET species out there. And this is where the pattern data correlation data points kick in. We know about the Barney and Betty Hill case, where they saw the star map, which showed these space trade routes, and one of the star systems that were depicted on the star map was the Zeta Reticuli binary star system. We know that Dan Sherman has come forward and talked about working with the Zeta Grays as an intuitive communicator. He was receiving telepathic messages from at least two different Grays, and he figured out that it had to do with alien abductions. And as part of the deal that this particular group of ETs, the Zeta Grays, had made with elements of the Deep Black U.S. government, they were supposed to let the humans know how many abductions were taking place, who they were abducting, where they were abducting them, and where they were returning them to. A key detail in the testimony of Dan Sherman is what he was told off the record and unauthorized, I might add, by one of the Zeta Greys. Dan Sherman asked them, or asked the particular Gray, about time travel, whether it's real, whether it exists, whether it's possible, and the Zeta Grey told him, yes, time travel is possible, we do it as needed, when we need to, and it's a simple matter of going around time, as it was explained to Dan Sherman. The Zeta Greys, to use their terminology in ways that Dan Sherman can understand, the Zetas went around time. Leah Haley, an old friend of mine from way back, she was one of the first MyLabs to go public. She herself had survived the saucer crash when the saucer she was in, the being she described that she had the most encounters with, she called them the chalky-colored creatures. Kind of gray-like, except they were chalky-colored, chalky-white. And she was on board a craft. It was blasted by some kind of EMP weapon near Eglin Air Force Base, Florida. The craft was shot down, and a military recovery team came along to pick up the bodies, the living ETs, the living wounded ETs, and Leah Haley. She was found staggering around outside of the craft when the military retrieval team came along. She was told by the Palladians, a group of Palladians she was interacting with, that time is like a slinky. And if you remember the children's toy, the springy-looking thing, it can go forwards or backwards depending on which way you want it to go. So, in the Palladian simplistic terms, in ways that Leah Haley could understand, they told her time is like a slinky. And then we have the case of Bob Lazar. And again, the Zeta Greys were part of his story. I have recently interviewed Jim Goodall, the world-class expert on all things stealth, all things next-generation aircraft, and Area 51. And he knew Bob Lazar. Jim Goodall knew Bob Lazar before Bob Lazar worked at S4. Interesting story, and when you listen to that interview, which will be out before too long, you can hear it for yourself. It's a fascinating story. But Bob Lazar likewise said that the sport model craft he was working on was obtained from, wasn't really told how they obtained the craft or how they came about it, but at any rate, the craft came from the Zeta Greys. And his area of specialty of expertise, as you know, was in determining the fuel source, determining the physics behind the propulsion system, etc., etc. In the course of his duties, he was required to read a number of briefing documents. And he read briefing documents about the Zeta Greys who provided the craft. And he read some interesting things. The Zeta Greys referred to human beings as containers. And this has opened up all kinds of speculation. Containers of what? I would suggest, educated guess, that the containers are containing a human soul, right? What's interesting is Leah Haley, the aforementioned Leah Haley, was likewise told by, I can't remember what group of ETs, if it was the Palladians or who, but some group of ETs likewise told her that particular group of ETs referred to human beings as containers. And, you know, bear with me because all this will make sense. The time travel, the containers, the soul, the soul harvesting, the soul recyclement, the Borg collective. So Bob Lazar was told about the Zeta Greys. He was told that the Zetas regarded human beings as containers. What was left unsaid was containers of what? In the briefing documents, Bob Lazar read that the Zetas had conducted a number of genetic alterations to the human race. Numerous, something like 26, 28, I can't remember the number, but that the Zeta Reticuli Greys had done upon humans to correct or guide their evolution. And we know that the Zeta Greys were not the only beings that were doing this. There are other beings that have been doing this. I direct your attention to a book by Alec Newell called Coevolution. Very interesting book. I read it. The subtitle is An Interplanetary Adventure. And he was likewise told by these gray-looking beings that they have had some role in correcting or altering the genetic evolution of humans. And likewise, that particular race that Alec Newell had been abducted by, they took him away, took him bye-bye for 10 days. When he returned, he was in a fugue state. Intelligence was onto him. They were messing with him, etc., etc. He had to piece all this after the fact. But the point of relevance is that group of gray-looking beings told him that they likewise had done something to the human race from a genetic evolutionary standpoint, and also they had done things in the distant past to the human race, and they needed to come back into our time continuum to correct things. Okay, so we've heard this before, right? Dan Buric, some of you are familiar with Dan Buric's story. Dan Buric claimed to have worked at S4 in a biosphere kind of facility. And he was working with a group of ETs called the J-Rods. And they look kind of gray-like. I'm not going to say they were grays. But he said this particular group of ETs said that, if memory serves, they were formerly like us. They were pretty much human. In fact, they were human. A number of things happened to them genetically, and mutations kicked in, and then they wind up looking like they do now, like these J-Rod aliens. And they've likewise come back from the future to rectify things. So all this ties in together. The time travel, the need, the compulsion, the need, the overriding need for some of these species, including Palladians, to come back in time, try to fix things, to make things better for themselves. And Dan Buric is just one of a number of people who describe this process. Now, we've all heard about the hybridization process, but I've always maintained that it's more than just the grays, quote-unquote, mixing their DNA with humans and coming up with a hybrid between the two. I've always maintained that at least some of these gray factions and various ET groups in general are essentially cosmic vassals of the Draco, of the reptilians. They do a lot of the heavy lifting. They do a lot of the work, even genetic work, especially medical procedure work on alien abductees at the behest of the reptilians and the Draco. But within that context, within that reptilian scheme of things, some of these gray races that are essentially cosmic vassals, they are trying to carve out their own niche. They are trying to enhance their own species, revivify their species, enhance it with human DNA, and do it kind of without the reptilians knowing, but I believe the reptilians do know. It's kind of with a nudge and a wink. It's kind of done with their tacit approval. As long as they do the work they're meant to do for the reptilians, I guess the reptilians turn a blind eye to that kind of thing. And we must reckon on the fact that the consciousness that's placed into these gray human containers, these gray human hybrid containers, are not always a gray consciousness. Sometimes, oftentimes, a reptilian consciousness is put into them. Because again, some of the gray factions work at the behest of the reptilians. So you have a couple of dynamics going on. I feel that the hybridization process is hastening this agenda, this process of turning people into a Borg hive collective. Because what have many people noted about the Greys, so-called, the generic Greys? Well, they seem to be a hive mentality. They seem to be a Borg mentality. They don't seem to have many emotions. They work and they do what they're supposed to do what they're programmed to do, and that's it, right? Now, Alec Newell, in the times he spent with the particular ET race that kidnapped him, he says on their world they have leisure time, they have a structured society, a division of labor, etc., etc., which I would expect with most even technologically advanced civilizations. Perhaps the ETs he was around had more individuality than other ET or Grey-type races, because some of these worker bee entities and some of the Tannish beings fall into this category too, but certainly some of the Greys fall into this category. They are very Borg. I mean, they've been described as moving in lockstep, three side by side, and they're walking in unison, they're moving in unison, and when something is done to throw them off balance, out of kilter, they kind of lose the plot, right? So, on the one hand, you have these gray-human hybrids, but there's a lot of reptilian DNA in those hybrids because that particular faction of the Greys may be working for the reptilians. The intention of putting the reptilian DNA in these people, probably increasing the amount of reptilian DNA. They probably, I'm guessing, had a lot of reptilian DNA to begin with. The purpose is to put a reptilian consciousness into those particular containers, those particular reptilian-human hybrid containers where the Greys are doing a lot of the heavy lifting, a lot of the genetics, a lot of the medical procedures. Then you have this other aspect to that where you have the Grey-human hybrid, but the outcome, whether it's someone here on Earth on the surface or it's one of these hybrids that a friend of mine talked about, and one of these days I'll get her on the show, where she's actually had to train these hybrids, these human-looking hybrids, to function in human society and not stick out like a sore thumb while they're doing it. I think that that version of the hybrids, the gray alien-human hybrids, is the version, the variation, that may go Borg-like. And then when we hear the stories of Dan Burish, that the particular ET group he was with, the J-Rods, how they were once human and they wound up becoming, looking like these ETs through all these genetic alterations, mutations, etc., etc., and they've come back in time to try to fix things because they know they're headed off to a biological, evolutionary dead end. And then you add on to that the whole concept of the container, the human soul. And what do we see in society around us now? Well, when people are not manifesting base emotions of anger, rage, of lust, of rapaciousness, of, you know, basically lower density reptilian behaviors, and also just the rage and the fear alone. I mean, think of the social justice warriors, think of the media just always inculcating fear all across the board. We just had another false flag shooting in Florida. Just a classic example of what I'm talking about. Keep everybody in the lower vibe, our complex state of mind. But when they're not manifesting these extremes of emotions, notice how these types seem incapable of manifesting joy, love, contentment, serenity. Notice how so many millennials and the generation before them, how they have this flatness of effect, how they have difficulty maintaining eye contact, how they have a very short attention span. Max Egan talked about this, that humans are now exhibiting a shorter attention span than goldfish. So you factor that in to what I'm talking about. So this Borg-like demeanor is already well advanced on many people on the surface, particularly and alarmingly so with the younger generations. I mean, think of them as being halfway to Borg Central. Many of them are overly vaccinated, so they've got the aluminium thing going on within them. Many of them products of a school system meant to dumb them down and sexualize them at the same time, right? Because these entities, these parasitic entities, they're going to get their money's worth. Okay, yeah, they want them Borged out, but they also want them to be hypersexualized because they want to extract every last bit of louche out of them that they can. That's how this matrix system works. We have generations now heading in that Borg-like direction, heading in that J-Rod direction, heading towards that biological evolutionary consciousness dead end. Because they're containers. As far as these predatory ETs are concerned, they're nothing more than containers of a soul. And then we talked about, on many occasions, the soul harvesting, recyclement, soul reincarnation trap, etc., etc. Then we factor in the capabilities of some of these quote-unquote grays. The fact that they can alter their density and they can pass through solid objects. And they can manipulate time, and they can manifest metaphysical abilities, and they have advanced technology with which they can utilize to further befuddle the humans that they're manipulating. And just with their ability to alter their density, just that fact alone allows them to take up humans as hosts. When we talk about host, people often think of, oh, like a host for a reptilian entity, but I've said this before, the reptilians are not the only ones taking people up as hosts. It depends on the genetic compatibility, indeed the spiritual compatibility of an individual. Some people may have more mantis DNA, some people may have more gray DNA, right? So it's easier for a gray to take somebody up as a host, indwell within them. And so they start to affect this kind of Borg-like, gray-like demeanor, flatness of effect. But at the same time, because they're an empty vessel, a container, and their brains are full of aluminium, heavy metals, toxins, glyphosate, you name it, it's relatively easy to get these humans to think and behave a certain way with a gray, in our example, that's taken them up as a host, a gray that's formed a semi-permanent or permanent attachment with an individual. I've spoken with some of the leaders in the Southern California rave movement, and they've seen like thousands of grays at high speed moving in and out of people on the dance floor, people that were on ecstasy, people that were on other drugs. They can see with their etheric third eye vision all these grays moving in and out of people. So the grays, even though some of them may be cosmic vassals, and some of them, to more or less degree, are free agents in the cosmic scheme of things, where they're not beholden to a particular more powerful group like the reptilians, they still behave, many of them, not all, to be sure, but many of them, I'm talking about different species or different factions of the grays, in a very parasitic fashion. So then you add on the meth, ice, crystal methadrine overlay, which makes these people that have already got all these issues to begin with, okay? They're already a millennial or the generation before that, Gen Y, Gen X, whatever the hell they call it. People that are permanently in their head space, have been subjected to Common Core, right? School and some of them have gone through college and subjected to the lobotomizing effect of college and the cultural Marxism there. The cultural Marxism is all radical Borg is all that is. It's just radical Borg consciousness. Anger, rage, all these lower base emotions is what animates these vessels that make up the social justice warrior community. So then you add on top of that the crystal meth agenda. Right, I'm going to be having Emily Moyer on pretty soon, and she talked about sugar as a programmable matter, and sugar is a crystal, granulated sugar, processed sugar is a crystal. Well, then, you know, we take it to a more extreme level, the crystal meth, the ice. And that creates a sympathetic resonance within these containers who've already got all these issues with aluminium, you know, lodged in their brain, already got all these issues with the gut flora, the important gut flora in their stomachs, all but wiped out, replaced by bad gut flora. In every which way, these people, their precious temples, their physical bodies have been really, really degraded. And it makes it that much easier for all these entities to get in. Not just grays, but a variety of entities, but in our example today, grays. So you add the meth aspect to that, and then what we're talking about now is not only are they Borg, not only are they hive consciousness, but they're thoroughly plugged into that lower fourth dimension. And as we've been saying on this show, increasingly what we see around us is the fourth dimension. Folks, if you look up and you see a airliner spewing out all the this long chemtrail behind it, but you're the only one that can see it in a crowd of people, even when you point it out, no one seems to be able to make the connection. What's this crazy person talking about? There, that plane is spewing out chemicals. That's a chemtrail. They can't see it. It's because their senses, their visual acuity, their ability to discern, their ability to critically analyze, their ability to process information is non-existent. Okay? They might as well be in a different dimension from you. You can see it, but they can't. That's why we're in the fourth dimension already. Right? Everyone around you, a lot of people around you, are doing things that are plugging them ever deeper into this soul matrix, soul recycling matrix prison planet. You can see it. You're navigating your way through it. You're avoiding all the strong points, bouncing off these strong points. Indirect approach, going your own way, making the adjustment on the fly. They can't do it because they can't see it. They're in another dimension from you. They're plugged in to the fourth dimension, right? You've got a higher than fourth dimension consciousness. You've got a fifth, sixth, seventh dimensional consciousness. You recognize this multiple threat environment for what it is. Okay, back to the meth. So now you add the meth on top of that, and that plugs them in down in the lower densities where all kinds of marauding entities exist. And they take that person up as a host, and they cause problems for their families, they cause problems for their friends, they cause problems for society in general. And if you've seen the video of some of these ICE addicts, like on closed-circuit TV, security cameras, et cetera, and they're just like swinging it at the air, they're lashing out, they're just talking to themselves, they're arguing with themselves, they're arguing with invisible entities. Oh, that's exactly what's happening. They're arguing with invisible entities that are talking all kinds of trash to them, basically, right? So, again, this goes back to the soul harvesting, soul recyclement, the container concept, locking people in to certain densities to allow these marauding entities in. And these people, they're so filled up with these meth crystals, so filled up with aluminium, so filled up with toxic metals, they're prime candidates for recycling. And so what some of these ETs are doing is they're coming back in time. They're saying, we don't want to be a part of this. We're going to work it out. We're going to extract what genetic material we can from these containers. And we're going to break out. And we're going to get the hell out of here and move on. That's where we find ourselves today. The Borg mentality, the trend, the very troubling trend towards a Borg collective is well underway, for all the reasons that I've cited. And the thing about these grays are, like I said earlier, they're going to get their money's worth. They're going to take people on board. They're going to make them have sex together. They're going to pair people up in alien love bites. They're going to put them through the extremes of like emotion by showing them things to elicit strong emotional reactions, fear, being emotionally overwrought, crying, being forced to watch nuclear devastation, being forced to endure all kinds of things emotionally and physically. Because some of these grays, they're like clinicians. They're like technicians. It's, okay, this is what's on the docket today. This is what the agenda is today. What we're going to put these abductees, these containers through today. It matters little, the feelings, the sovereign rights of the people in question, of the abductees in question. That's beside the point. Because just as humans mistreat animals in factory farms, and they pollute the oceans and just make it difficult for marine life to exist, well, you know what? We're not at the top of the food chain, folks, right? In some of these underground processing plants, and there's probably off-world processing plants as well, it's not just reptilians down there that are harvesting humans and chopping them up, dismembering them as a for a food source. The Greys do the same thing. The Greys are deeply involved in that agenda. And also note that what's happening deep, deep black at the alien reptilian level of secrecy, it's not happening in a vacuum. We see on the surface the social engineering, which is going full steam ahead. There's a case of a poor 11-year-old girl. This poor girl was raped, and the defense attorneys for the rapist are saying, oh, 11 years old, she's not a girl, she's not a child anymore, she's a woman. She gave consent. Like, on what normal planet, what kind of planet would defense attorneys actually use that argument, that an 11-year-old girl gave consent to be sexually assaulted? But that's what's happening today. So what we're seeing is the mindset, the fantasy come to life of all these dark entities. It's manifesting into physical reality in our surface world through the importation of Sharia, the fact that so many of these cultures come from an essentially rape culture, a pedophile culture, many of them, and the rape pedophile culture was sub rosa all along in the West, with all these really evil perpetrator networks at work. Basically, these were reptilian hybrid types doing all this evil sub rosa. Well, now it's all bubbling up to the surface, and they're making everything seem normal. And they're making normal people say, wait a minute, this is wrong. This is evil. They're making it look like those people are the whack jobs. Those people are crazy. Those people are non-progressive, let's say. So keep that point in mind, that now there's a meeting between the two. There's a meeting between what goes on in the darkest, deepest recesses of the psychopathic mind, the reptilian mind. All the compulsions of aggression, rape, etc., is playing out. And all those things that were formerly illegal, now they're starting to be normalized. So we have to keep in mind that this is all part and parcel of this Borg agenda. And the Greys are key players behind this. The Greys just don't provide technology to the deep black aerospace military in these exchanges. You know, think of the alleged treaty between the Zeta Greys and the U.S. government way back when. It's more than that. That's just the tip of the iceberg. There's a whole social engineering, biological, evolutionary, genetic container, soul harvesting aspect to it. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in the second segment. So we've reached the end of this segment of Bartley's commentaries on the Cosmic Wars. If you like what we do, if you believe in what we do, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up and become a member. And we'll see you at the top of the next segment.